B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynn, Sam Wilson, Pat Egan on the updates for you this morning. Trey, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. First thing I heard you say as we walked into the studio here, in the feels.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a day for the feels, man.
It was an emotional day.
It's what we call sometimes a dark night. When you don't have the Flyers or Sixers playing on a particular evening. Yeah. Last night, a bit of a dark night.
Yeah.
And you're concentrating on maybe some emotions from yesterday. First and foremost, Nick Foles with a love letter to all of us here in Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. It was just... Oh, my God. I'm going to miss you.
And then to make matters worse, I can't imagine you actually crying. Yeah. I know you're an emotional man.
I cry all the time.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I get a good cry all the time, you know.
you follow.
It's refreshing. It's.
Yeah, right.
It takes the load off, man.
Yeah, there's amino acids or something like that in tears.
It's like Jim Valvano said, be brought to tears every day.
Yeah.
If you can laugh, spend time in thought. And if you can be brought to tears, that's a full day. That's a good day.
That's a day. That's a full day.
Yeah.
I love that speech.
I cry all the time, man.
That's yeah. Emotional. It's good right. For you. You know, good for you, man.
It's you know.
No, I hold back tears.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family where, don't you cry. Yeah. That's actually not true. But anyway, you're an emotional man. So yesterday, Nick Foles writes that letter. He pens a letter on the Players Tribune to Philadelphia. Actually thanked Chip Kelly.
Yeah. That's like when you say, hey, I want to, this is a shout out to all my haters, thank you.
Yeah, right.
I
liked how he did it, though. He said, I even want to thank Chip Kelly. Yeah. I love that.
I think we're going to have to get a dramatic reading.
Intelligence.
I think we should.
of Nick Foles. That was the first thing to get you in the feels. And then also Nick Foles related. I saw John Clark tweet out the video. Now, this was interesting because John Clark, Johnny Airports, usually just patrols the Philadelphia airport, somehow magically got footage of the Jacksonville Jaguars plane landing in Jacksonville, and Nick Foles getting off the plane down there to become a member of the Jaguars officially. Yeah. He's wearing the hat and all that type jazz. Johnny Airports, no airport left unturned. Johnny Airports gets it done. So you see him getting off the plane. That happened later in the day. And then in about the middle of all that, Malik Jackson gets introduced as a member of the Eagles.
Yeah.
And his press conference yesterday, he's going to play defensive tackle next to Fletcher Cox, was like, Trey, you were listening to it with me a little bit. It was like, let's put the pads on now.
Yeah.
You were ready to put him back on and go out there.
After listening to Malik Jackson, you know, because first you're like, oh my God, Foles. And then you hear Malik and it's like, okay, all right. Here we go! That's what I'm talking about.
Go hit somebody.
Let's go.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it was a lot of emotions, right? You start off crying and then now you get fired up, you know?
Trey, I've had I played 1 year of organized football in my life. Mm-hmm. That was my freshman year at Archbishop Wood High School. I was not good.
Okay.
But bottom line is, I remember what it was like to put those pads on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not at your level. Not 181 starts, my friend.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it made me want to put those pads back on.
Yeah, man.
Learn how to play the game and then go out there and actually play again.
Yeah, go get a good chest bump. Boom, let's go. Let's get some work.
It was a wild day for that. And then to make you feel even better, video gets released of Bryce Harper being at some ice cream shop. I actually think I know where he was in Clearwater. I think I've actually been to this place.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sell pizza and ice cream. It's like my two favorite things. They're just not nachos, at least not yet. Not until I got my influence on him. But Bryce Harper is there, and there's a line to get ice cream, and somebody in line yells out, yo, Bryce, how about you buy us some ice cream? And he says, yeah, man, get whatever you want. Now, I don't know if it actually happened. Jamie, you're our social media expert. I didn't see anything beyond that. Do we know for a fact whether or not Bryce Harper actually bought Phillies fans ice cream last night?
I'm going to go with yes, because he kind of, I think he gave a little nod to the counter girl. Like a, I got th- like a kind
yeah,
of
that's
like,
what really? It looked like to me.
Yeah, yeah, like I got these guys. Like,
man, 330 million. You better buy some damn ice cream.
I'm gonna take three scoops of the cold.
Yeah. I want some damn sprinkles.
I'm taking a quart to go.
You know Philly. You know Philly. It's all about the Jimmys. You know
the Jimmys,
you know,
man.
Philly. You know.
I've heard crazy arguments about.
Oh
that.
Yeah.
What sprinkles or Jimmys?
Yeah. Sprinkles or Jimmys?
It's Jimmys.
Well, they're in the South though, so we're going with sprinkles.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, and I want some damn sprinkles on mine. Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy's can also mean other things.
Yeah,
sprinkles, you know what everybody's talking about.
You know what you're talking about.
I want some sprinkles on there.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. I've never been a Jimmy's guy. I've always been a sprinkles guy.
That's the Baltimore in you coming out.
You know what it probably is?
That's your formative ice cream years
exactly.
As a youth.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was at Mama and Pop-Ups in beautiful Dundalk visiting them, it was just, you want some ice cream? Yes, absolutely. Sprinkles, please.
You want some sprinkles?
Yes.
Yeah, of course I do.
I'm sorry, was that sugar on my sugar? Yes, that, please.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not enough sugar in this cone. Please put sprinkles on top of that. Sprinkles of sugar. Thanks, my mom. But that was my youth, yes.
So with Bryce Harper going to buy ice cream, what's Gabe Kapler's response to this? I mean, you know, how does he
feel? Were the sprinkles presenting well? Put some sprinkles on that, it'll present
well. It was a very valiant effort.
I couldn't buy ice cream for someone who puts it in their mouth and then spits it out.
Oh, yeah, that's a little weird.
I wouldn't
buy it for him.
This is a legend.
Waste of money.
That Bob is a legend.
Yeah.
Alleged.
Guys are dripping with sweat.
If there's anybody that does it, I'm going to say it's him.
I don't know if there's anyone that has better sound drops than Gabe Kapler.
This one just kills me.
Guys are dripping with sweat.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, that one's a little...
So, apparently Kevin Millar was the one that said in Boston he had a locker next to Gabe Kapler, and he's the guy that put the story out there that Gabe licks the ice cream and then spits it into a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes and hides like 10 bodies that are in his trunk. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was how that story came out.
So tell me this, when you eat ice cream, are you a cone guy or are you a bowl?
Preferably cone.
Yeah, I'm a cone guy.
Cone guy?
Mm-hmm. If there's a container I can eat, I generally will go with the container that's also edible.
Okay.
Because I love Mother Earth.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I love the Earth.
All right.
Waffle cone.
Yeah.
I'm a waffle cone guy.
How about you, brother?
Yeah.
I'm more of a cup and spoon guy.
Yeah.
I just feel weird walking around holding a cone, licking it. You know what I'm saying? I just...
you almost...
That's everything in me. Just
Wait, wasn't it you?
You almost got a legit spit take there. I literally was taking a sip of water, and when you said that, that was interesting. Yeah. Yes.
Was it you who said you didn't like... your girl, like growing up, your girl's licking a lollipop or something like that?
Not my kids.
Oh, your kid? That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't let my kids walk around eating cones because, I mean, you know.
I know. I couldn't remember who said it, and then when you brought it up, I thought it was you.
Yeah, my wife with the lollipops. I'm like, hey, babe. You know, with these big lollipops, I mean, I don't need you know.
You partaking
in these lollipops in public, you know.
Okay, all right.
You know, you keep that to
keep that on the inside.
Yeah. I don't need everybody knowing all that, you know.
I'm sorry, but there is a pressing issue with Bryce.
Okay.
And you actually highlighted this to me today there, the Trey. Bryce Harper is still hitless in three spring training games.
Yeah.
Hitless.
Yeah.
You mentioned the $330 million to buy some ice cream. How about buying some spring training hits to make me feel all warm and cozy inside?
Yeah, I need that.
Bob, are we concerned yet?
Yeah.
When do we hit the panic button?
Right now, the red flag is up, panic button pressed. Are you kidding me?
Right, but I go back to the theme of feels, right? Get you in the feels and all that?
Uh-huh.
How about, what if a Hall of Famer, what if a legend of the game gave a little pat on the back of Bryce Harper yesterday? What if that happened? What if a legend of the game said, you know what, Bryce Harper, we need more of you in this game. We need superstars. Would that make you feel a little bit better?
I don't have to feel better.
I think we're all concerned.
I feel good.
I think we're all hitting the panic button on Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I agree. I'm there.
It's spring training.
I don't pay $330 million to watch you walk. There it is. Sounding the alarms.
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
Yeah. All right.
Hey, you know, I don't play when I hear a fire alarm now, you know.
That's Trey was going to leave. Yeah,
hey, Trey's the one that will first be in the parking lot.
Fire alarm go off, hey, man, somebody got to tell the story.
Tell them what happened here. But Bryce Harper still hitless in spring training. They played the Yankees yesterday. Reggie Jackson had some interesting things to say about Bryce Harper. We'll get into that. I was reading about that on Philly.com earlier today. We got plenty of NFL free agency to get into. We got running backs to look at. One of them went off the board yesterday, about 12 hours ago. Zach Berman is going to join us at 8 o'clock to help us break down all things that have to do with NFL free agency as it ties into the Eagles. But back to Malik Jackson real quick, because he did have his introductory press conference yesterday, wore his high school Letterman jacket, was looking fly up there at the
podium.
That's
what it was?
Yeah, man.
Huh.
He wanted to show the little kids out there, hey, you could be here one day as well. Isn't that a nice sentiment?
That's what's up.
More feels.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. But he wore that yesterday. Talked
That's nice.
About it is.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Talked about his.
I believe it's Birmingham, LA area. I think it said Birmingham High on there.
Burp. Don't know. Birmingham,
Los Angeles.
Okay. Awesome.
So yeah.
All right. So we sports that.
A little fun fact for the new guy.
Sports that at the podium yesterday. Talks about how he loves the smash mouth, punch him in the face mentality of Eagles football. Guy's going to jump right in. Trey's getting excited again. Talked a little bit about Jim Schwartz and how he wants to play for him. And here's what I really liked. No excuses yesterday from this guy. Got benched last year in Jacksonville for some younger studs on that defensive line, or I shouldn't even say studs, some younger players in that defensive line. Wants to right the ship, get his career back on track after winning a Super Bowl and going to a Pro Bowl with Denver. He wants to be able to come back and get back on track in his career. We got that to get into. We got some interesting birthdays today that we'll actually touch on just a little bit here. And Trey, you got into this a little bit yesterday. Kobe Bryant's jersey had been found.
Mm-hmm.
We want to delve into that just a little bit more. We also have some video of Jamie's fall at the Wings Media Day / tryout.
Look how happy he gets. I think this might be Trey's favorite thing.
This is Trey. This is
like
the
Oprah's favorite thing. This is Trey's favorite thing.
Scott, I mentioned Scott Van Pelt yesterday is the favorite thing he's seen. This is the favorite thing Trey saw.
Oh, man, it's hilarious.
Thank you, Jamie.
We also have a pair of 76ers tickets to give away to the Thursday night game, March 28th, versus the Brooklyn Nets. One spot also in our annual knockout game. On the court after the game, you can register for a spot in that competition on our contest page, 975thefanatic.com. But we're giving away to our caller of the day a pair of tickets to the 76ers Nets game on March 28th, Thursday night. And one person that wins that will also get into our annual knockout game on the Sixers court, of course, after the game. Wide open lines for you, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up. If you missed Malik Jackson, we'll get into some of the stuff he had to say yesterday. Also, DeSean Jackson was in the building. That was great to see. And I had the distinct privilege of hanging out with two guys that are already Philadelphia favorites in Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic at the 76ers gala the other night. We put a little thing together for NBC Sports Philadelphia. And let me just say that those two gentlemen hit it out of the park. As we played a little Bobby, not N Toby, Bobby versus Toby in Philadelphia trivia. Hearing them try to pronounce Schuylkill.
That was pretty good.
That was a good time. We'll let you hear that. We'll let you hear that coming up in a few here on 97.5. Now, Zach Berman has a newborn. He's been up for a while. And what's interesting about Zach Berman is not only is he up, but apparently his fake Twitter account was up as well today. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure to have you on, man. Now, we saw this fake tweet out there saying Ronald Darby to, what was it, the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was on Twitter this morning, and there was a fake Kansas City Chiefs account, and it looked like an official news story, and it was not. So
okay.
I apologize. Quickly corrected.
Oh, it happens to the best of us. Happens to all of us at least once a year. It's a beautiful
they got
time.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they got trained pretty bad. But, Zach, what a lot of people want to talk about today is Tevin Coleman goes off the board, so to speak, away from free agency, ends up signing with the 49ers. So a lot of people are looking at the running back position right now with the Eagles as their...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Number one need. First and foremost, do you see it that way? And how do you solve that, Zach?
Well, I saw defensive tackle as their biggest need going into free agency. Obviously, they addressed that with Malik Jackson. So right now, I would agree running back is their biggest need. I would caution fans were panicked from saying it's March 14th, free agency literally opened yesterday. And so, you know, there's a lot that can happen between now and the first week of September. That being said, I do think the Eagles must address this position, and they can't just wait until the draft. And the reason I say that is because you never know how the draft board's going to fall, frankly. You never know how your evaluations are going to be. The Eagles did not address the position in 2017. It was a loaded draft class, and then the board didn't really fall how they wanted to. Ended up with Donnell Pumphrey in the fourth round. They did sign LeGarrette Blount a month later. They did trade for Jay Ajayi during the season. They did win a Super Bowl. So, there's a lot that can still happen, but I do think the Eagles need to address the position in the coming weeks.
Is there anyone available right now that you would say that would be a good addition? That'd be a smart move.
Well, I actually thought Tevin Coleman would have been a sensible move, especially at that salary. But from what's available now, there's no brainer, I would say. Although Spencer Ware is someone with starting experience who Doug Peterson knows. If you're looking for a change of scenery guy, TJ Yeldon from Jacksonville, former second round pick. And then I think you can look in the trade market. I like Duke Johnson quite a bit from Cleveland. Jordan Howard's obviously an accomplished running back. So there are options out there. I don't think there's that surefire no-brainer. But that being said, at this point, the Eagles aren't going to invest significant money in that position. So it's a matter of finding the right fit and hoping your evaluation's correct.
Speaking with Zach Berman, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer, and author of the book, Underdogs, covering the Eagles Super Bowl run from a year ago. Zach, looking at the draft, I know the Eagles met with a lot of running backs while they were out at the combine and all that. Is there one particular guy or maybe two that you're looking at running back wise, young guy that could draft in the early goings or maybe with one of their fourth round picks?
Well, if you're talking the first round, Josh Jacobs is the best running back in this draft. Now, I don't think the Eagles can get him in the second round. You probably need to invest a first rounder if he's on the board there. But then in the second round, you know, it really depends on what you think of these players. David Montgomery from Iowa State, the player I like. I actually like Miles Sanders from Penn State. I think there are guys there you can get second round. I don't know about fourth round, but if you can either trade back from the second into the third, trade up from the fourth into the third, maybe the third round's a possibility. If you wait until day three, it's a real challenge because you could end up with Marlon Mack like the Colts did. You could end up with Donnell Pumphrey like the Eagles did. So, that's too much of a risk. I think if you're looking for a significant contributor, then you need to think one of your first three picks.
Zach, what are they going to do with the linebacker position with Jordan Hicks now on the move? And, you know, Nigel Bradham, great, love him. But your depth there and your other starter there doesn't seem to be around here yet, is it?
Yeah, good question there. And Nigel Bradham's going to have an even bigger role, frankly, when Jordan Hicks was injured during the Super Bowl run. And then last year, Nigel played that three-down role for them, also was the defensive signal caller. I think they're comfortable with Nigel there. I wouldn't worry so much about three linebackers because the Eagles aren't in their base defense that often. But you do need that second linebacker. They like Kamu Grugier-Hill. They like Nate Gary. Those are the internal options. What they really need to determine, are those guys ready to take on a bigger role? It's still early in free agency, so there are some players out there, the trade market too. If you want a name on the trade market who I like, Darren Lee from the Jets, who just signed C.J. Mosley. Lee was their first round pick in 2016. Fast guy who can cover. But there are still players out there. I just don't think the Eagles prioritize that position financially, although I do think they are going to miss Jordan Hicks.
Asking a lot of people this recently, Zach, looking at DeSean Jackson coming back here, what do you expect him to do this upcoming season? How much do you think he has left in the tank?
I expect him to stretch the field. That's an obvious answer. I think that the move made sense because the Eagles needed a vertical receiver, but I would caution anyone listening to judge it on DeSean Jackson in 2019 and not DeSean Jackson in 2009. There could be some sentiment associated with this move, and you know, you kind of need to be careful with that. He obviously still is an outstanding vertical threat, led the league in yards per catch last year. Everyone saw that 75-yard touchdown against the Eagles in week two, but he's someone who hasn't played a 16-game season since leaving Philadelphia. He's had over 1,000 yards twice in the past 5 years, I believe. So I think within the role in the offense, he's a good addition. But if you're expecting to see the Sean that left, I don't know if you're going to have that player.
Any surprise Nelson Agholor got the money guaranteed that he did yesterday?
Not surprised that he has that salary. More surprised that the Eagles are carrying that much money at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Although when they're not paying anyone at running back, they have money to spend at wide receiver.
Well, I'm sorry, you blipped out for a second there, Zach. What was that?
Yeah, I said when you're not paying any running backs, you can pay some wide receivers.
Sure.
But the Eagles have a lot of money invested in wide receiver. I think what Nelson's getting paid is probably consistent with what he would get if the Eagles let him go. I thought they maybe would have given an extension. They obviously did not do that. If you're going to have Nelson for 1 year at that salary, that's fine. But there are certain games when he could be your fourth or fifth option in the passing game. And so when you look at resource allocation, you're allocating a lot to wide receiver. And, the puzzle's not finished yet, so I'm real curious to see. But if you have deficiencies at running back, let's say, or at third safety or at linebacker, then you can look at how much you're tied into depth at wide receiver. So I'm real curious to see how this all finishes out.
Hey, if you had to put a grade on what they've done so far, like what would you grade them out at, the Eagles?
I would say incomplete. I really like Malik Jackson signing. I would give that an A signing. You know, I think that was a steal for the Eagles. I think he's a good player who's an upgrade at a position of need, and they got a good value for him. There's still a lot of work left to be done, so I would say incomplete. They've only really made two moves here, and the Sean Jackson move, I'm not over the moon about it, not down on it. I really like the Malik Jackson move. So I would give them a good grade based on Malik Jackson. But, you know, if this is the roster they have going into the draft, I don't think that's enough. I do think they still need to address running back. Third safety is the position I'm watching closely. Frankly, I think third safety is more important than third linebacker in this defense. And I'm curious to see what they do at defensive end as well.
How do you feel about what they did with Wisniewski and JP?
Jason Peters, I think that's a good price for him. You know, I think Jason Peters is a better option than what they have with Halapulavati Vaitai or Jordan Mailata. But as I'm saying this, I shouldn't be giving my left tackle analysis to Trey Thomas. You would know better than me. but with Stefan Wisniewski, I wouldn't really object to letting him go there. You know, I think he's a good player, good depth player. Once they committed to Isaac Seumalo, then the writing was on the wall. That being said, when you talk about Isaac, you really need to make sure your evaluation is correct. A lot of times when you give a contract extension, you're worried about how much you're spending. In this case, it's more, are you properly evaluating him as a starter in this offense? Because, frankly, 2017 wasn't good, and he showed some more promise last year, but they're really committing to him. And Wisniewski was a starter on this Super Bowl team. I don't fault them for letting Wisniewski go, but I do think that they need Jeff Stoutland to really develop guys there. And I should say Matt Pryor, who's going to step up as a reserve guard, that's a player the Eagles really like.
Zach Berman, Philly.com. Last thing for you. Malik Jackson, you mentioned liking bringing him into Philadelphia, playing next to Fletcher Cox and all that. I'm a fan of it as well, but he did have some struggles in Jacksonville. What was the issue? It was actually benched for some time there as well.
Yeah, he was benched last season, and you know, they said that his run defense, you can make that argument, I suppose, but I'll put it this way. 2 years ago, Malik Jackson was in the Pro Bowl, one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. 3 years ago, he signed a six-year, $90 million contract with the Jags, coming off a Super Bowl in Denver. Last season, I still think that's the exception, not the rule. And I'll also say the Jags invested a first-round pick in Taven Bryan. You guys know how that goes oftentimes.
Right.
You want to get your first-rounders on the field. He's 29 years old. He's been productive. He's not the best run defender, but when you're talking about an interior pass rush and the value of that and the fact that the Eagles really missed that last season, I think this is a really good signing.
All right, Zach Berman, Philly.com, author of the book Underdogs as well. Thanks for coming on, man. Always good talking to you.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Fanatic. It seems like where you're going to have to go right now is actually go after a running back in the first round, and you hope that Josh Jacobs is still going to be available there for the Eagles to take, because after that, there is a steep decline in terms of running backs in this draft. And I think we all agree that on the surface, the best thing the Eagles could do is draft a running back in this draft. Number one need, glaring need, when we talked to Adam Schefter yesterday, when we've talked to other people throughout the offseason, that's been the number one thing. They need to go out there and get a running back. That's still very much on the to-do list of the Philadelphia Eagles offseason. But when you look at the draft, it's either pretty much first round or bust for them if they want to get somebody in here that's going to have an immediate impact. Because after that, like I said, there is a steep drop-off. Now, I mentioned KJ Wright earlier. BJ's tweeting me late last night the Seahawks actually brought him back. So KJ Wright...
I didn't see that either.
Yeah, just saw it on... I did fact-check it. So they brought him back, evidently, so he's off the board. Now you're looking to also help out your linebacking core, like I said. But here's where a guy like Malik Jackson comes in handy. Because as good as the Eagles were on that defensive line last year, they had some linebacker issues. Kamu Grugier-Hill started to come on strong as the season went on. You had a guy like Hicks continue to have injury issues last year. Now, obviously, he's off to Arizona. So you're still going to have to fill in some voids there at the linebacker position. But in order to help that and maybe give it a little bit of a learning curve, you bolster your defensive line a little bit like Malik Jackson. Mm-hmm. Malik Jackson yesterday talked about adding on to a defensive line that is already pretty much top-notch in the NFL. Here's Malik Jackson yesterday.
It was a lot of my decision, you know, to go somewhere where I had a good D-line, you know, because, like I said, I want to get back to where I know where I can be. And to do that, I need good D-linemen around me. So coming here with these four guys, Barnett, Graham, and Fletcher, I mean, hell, I don't think there's a better D-line in the league. So it was important to me to come where I can come and use my talents and have one-on-one opportunities.
You look at Malik Jackson coming in here, 29 years old. He'll be 29 for the season, doesn't turn 30 till January. Mm-hmm. But had a pretty good career when he was with the Denver Broncos. Then he actually had a pretty decent time in Jacksonville. Over 2 years in Jacksonville, he was able to get about 14 and a half sacks. Did well for a defensive tackle. Now he's coming to Philadelphia after only a 3.5 sack season in Jacksonville. So when you look at him next to Fletcher Cox, for instance, what do you think they could do in the middle of the line tray to help out those linebackers, whoever they bring in?
Well, it comes against the run. I mean, now when it's against the run, I mean, I think these guys are going to have to be able to hold up those double teams. You're going to have to make sure you take on those double teams, or even some of the zone block schemes, you make sure you take up to allow that linebacker freedom to hit the hole, you know, because that's what it's all about when it comes to that. Now, when it comes to pass, getting after the quarterback, I think that they are going to cause a lot of problems just because, I mean, you know, which way are you going to slide the line? If you mess around and you slide to Fletcher, of course, Fletcher's going to get a lot of the attention anyway. A lot of guys are going to try to double team him. But then if Malik Jackson is everything that he's saying he's going to be, then now you leaving him one-on-one. He can be a problem out there. He has a good motor, understands how to use his arms, how to come with the bull rush, and also how to butt and go, has a nice spin move as well. So he can cause a lot of problems out there for guards that might not be, that's going to be on a one-on-one situation. And also being a vet, he'll understand, okay, when the center comes up in points, all right, then they're sliding that way. I have, man, I'm sorry, Fletcher, you got the double team, but I'm about to get after it.
One of the criticisms about Malik Jackson has been that he might not be able to play next to Fletcher Cox because Cox likes that three technique, and so does Malik Jackson. Mm-hmm. So how do they coexist? Is that a big issue at all?
Oh, you're going to figure it out. Yeah, you know, you're going to figure it out. I mean, Fletcher, if I use Brett Brown, is our crown jewel. So, you know,
nice.
Very nice.
What I'm saying? So you know, you're gonna have to play off of whatever it is. And then there are times that, you know, I'm pretty sure that they're going to get creative and say, all right, you know what, we're going to spread everybody out and let's go get after it. I mean, I don't see it being a problem.
But let me just say this then. So let's say there's no crown jewel and just basic football, right? If I tell you, hey, I got this tackle that's really good, a defensive tackle, good, really good at three technique, the other guy also, does that raise your eyebrows to you or give you concern that they both like to play the defensive tackle position at the, you know, the same technique?
No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, at any point, you're going to – the way defensive line shifts based off of motion and everything else, you're going to have to find yourself in that situation anyway at a once every now and then. And, I mean, Fletcher Cox – he's not foreign to having to jump down inside either. You know, I mean, I don't see this being a problem.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm looking at it like this. You have a defensive line, as he has pointed out, he came here to play with guys like Fletcher Cox, a young guy like Barrett, for instance, right? Barnett, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So you have guys on here that you can already play with. Malik Jackson, let's not forget, was out in London last year playing mm-hmm. for the Jaguars with, you know, their part-time place of playing. Mm-hmm. And he said that he noticed at that point how good the Eagles' defense was. Now, defensively speaking, usually off the field, you're talking to your teammates, whatever, you're not really paying attention. He was paying attention. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, during his press conference, he got asked about, you know, what really was the fit here in Philly and why he chose that, or why he thought Philadelphia would be a good fit.
I mean, smash mouth. You see the way they play. You see the way they have fun. We were able to play against them in England. And so that was cool, you know, just to see the way they play. They run around, the D linemen get off, the linebackers clean it up, and the safeties are back there doing their thing, and corners back there doing their thing. So I think they play free. I think they're the new style of the league where you just go out there, punch somebody in the mouth, and see what they do. And I like that.
So now you have an upgrade, I feel, from Tim Jernigan to Malik Jackson. You have possibly still bringing back maybe a guy like Chris Long, who just got back from his water boy trip over mm-hmm. to Africa. And then you have some other guys in here that he could be mixing in with Brandon Graham. Mm-hmm. Yet again, it looks like the Eagles' defensive line is going to be stacked.
Yeah, and he has the right temperament. Understand, when a guy comes in and does a press conference and says, look, man, I just want to come in there and punch somebody in the mouth and see what happens. You know, that's not trying to be, hey, I don't want to be, you know. I'm coming out here to punch somebody in the mouth, and then what's going to happen? That's the type of temperament I want to see out of a defensive lineman.
And, Mark, when you say he's an upgrade from Tim Jernigan, like, that can't be understated. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw how good Tim Jernigan made Fletcher Cox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that you have that, and maybe an upgrade, my right. God, this D-line, and he said it yesterday. Jackson said it yesterday, like, with these guys, I don't know if there's a better one in the league. Yeah, he just may have made that the best defensive line in the league.
And I think also, too, when you have a down year and you get a chance to be somewhere else, you know, and have that fresh energy and know that this is a line that can make some noise, I mean, I think that's going to up his energy as well. And it's going to take this front to another level.
Here's what I really like about him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a crazy thing to like about a guy, but he got benched last year.
Yeah.
Jacksonville made a switch on the defensive line at the defensive tackle position. This guy, Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, 28 years old, was asked to go have a seat on the bench.
Yeah.
He's coming in here with a huge chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's got something to prove.
Yeah, it's prove it time. And his age, too, right? 28, 29. I mean, that's all right, I'm looking for contract time. You know, like, so yeah, you're gonna get the best out of him on every snap.
Hey, we'll go over his contract because a bit of a pay cut for this young man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.